Thank God for the Holy Ghost. The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever and ever and ever. If you will open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, the Holy Ghost showed us we was going to catch up. And of course, I wouldn't speak it of the church in a derogatory manner. But God, last night, when He said that we were 7 years behind, 7 years out of that, and we're not attacking anybody against anybody, the church should be the most intelligent people group on planet Earth. I'm talking about combined. You know, all of us, not just one person, but all of us pooling our resources and anointings together. We should know what's going to happen in the earth before it happens. Why it's going to happen, what God thinks about it happening, and then what the church's response should be to it. I know the closer you walk with God, and you know this too, but the closer you walk with God, the more that God will begin to show you things to come. For instance, you've heard me tell the story about when the terrorists took over the planes and ran into the trade towers. I saw that 9 months before it happened in Pastor Phil and Cheryl Jackson's living room in Wessex Place in Charlotte, North Carolina. We were bowed down, praying. We were praying about revival. We was praying for churches and ministries all over the world. We was praying about revival there, at their place, in their church, because I was there ministering also. But while I was praying, kneeling down at that chair, the Spirit of God, I saw the vision, and I saw the planes running into the buildings. I saw the buildings collapse. I saw people running everywhere in pandemonium and dust and everything coming up, you know. And the Lord said to me in my spirit, declare thou what you see unto this people. And I said, Lord, they'll think I'm a nut. We're praying about revival. What am I doing? He said, declare thou what you see unto the people. And I said, Lord, I don't think I much want to do that. I said, these people here, we're just intent. We're praying in this direction. And I said, I don't think that we ought to do this. And I got in the flesh, got out of the spirit. And so it took me, 10 minutes or so to get back there. And then I got back in there. And again, I saw this thing. And about the third time, it was real strong. Declare what you see into this people. So I said, okay, here we go. I don't know how to do it, but I just spoke out loud. And I wasn't mic'd or anything, so I had to speak up pretty loud. I said, now hear this. Now hear this. Now hear this. And of course, everybody stopped. And there was a lady there that had presence of mind to grab a notebook and write down what I was about to say, And I told them what I saw. I told them about the airplanes running the buildings, and I told them about the buildings collapsing and everything like that. And that I believe that that's what I saw. And I said, the Lord told me to tell you. Well, you could imagine it brought an end to our prayer meeting right away. And of course, if you knew Miss Cheryl Jackson, she said, oh, Randy. She said, you're out of your mind. There ain't no airplanes or running in no buildings, And, of course, we finally figured out that maybe I ate the wrong thing for lunch or something. Maybe that's what it was, and I certainly don't know at all, and I know that. But believe this, my wife can attest to it. When the terrorists took over the airplanes and run into the buildings, of course, I watched it on TV. I was speaking at a Rhema ministers meeting when it actually occurred. And, of course, we saw it on TV because we was having breakfast. And the server said, do you know what's going on? We said, no, because one of the planes had already flew into one of the towers, And then he rolled a TV out and plugged it up, and they had a thing in this little private breakfast area where we was at, and turned it on. And we watched the second plane run into it, and they watched it collapse. And I thought, well, that's what I saw. That's what I saw. That's what I saw. And guess what? My wife can tell you about 5 o'clock the next morning. Guess who called us? Pastor Cheryl Jackson. Look what we prayed out. I said, you were sending me to hell. I saw it. I said, but now you're ready for it. I mean, you're ready to send the devil to come get me. I'm out of my mind. But, I've had experiences like that over the years, and in recent times, I'll be honest, it's just more frequent, but I just don't say a whole lot no more. I'm smiling. You know what I mean? I just learned that sometimes just keep your mouth shut And I learned then, don't listen to other people around me that's trying to tell me that this is not from God, because when the Lord shows it to me, then I know I'm supposed to pray about it. You know what I mean? So there's supernatural things occurring. So when I said that about the 7 years in the church, the Lord had shown me that to me. And you'll say, where did he show you? Do you really want to know? He showed me right here at this meeting. Had no idea. I wasn't trying to work up something, but he said that. Now, we was talking about that one of the ways that the church gets back to the place that it should be was what? Being filled with the Holy Ghost. Because we got to get back to the basics, not camp out. But that's what the fundamentals of Christianity, what's going to put us over. But this is also the second thing that we in the church have become aware of today in order to get in the position that we need to be in. And that is that we have absolute, supreme, dominating authority over Satan and all his works. And the church in this day will be anointed to arise in a boldness in this area like they have never seen or known, if you will embrace it. Because I don't know if you've recognized it lately. I'm sure you have. But I don't know if you've recognized it lately. The devil has been winning. Brother Andy, I thought you was a faith man. Well, I am a faith man, but I think there's some folks sitting up here that taught me to have good sense too. And the devil has been trying to take over the country. He's been trying to take over the church. And the only reason, though, he can win is because the church as a whole, I'm not belittling anybody, doesn't stand up and take authority over him. The church should be dominating what's going on in this nation. We should be dominating and controlling what's happening. And you're going to see this. You're going to see, I don't know if we want a revival of this, but we're going to have a revival of casting out devils. I mean, so you might as well get primed up for it, and you might as well get ready for it, because we're going to have this, because there's so many devils that's crept around. Dad Hagin used to say it this way: the devil goes to church more faithful than saints do. Y'all, you remember him? You were sitting there. You heard him say that. So there's going to be revival. So the Lord began to talk to me today about this, about preaching this, because one of the anointings that it seems like that, I don't know, I've just had the most success in. You know, Brother Hagin used to talk about some people are used this way and used that way, and all of us can be used in different ways as the Spirit wills anytime, you know. But it seems like that I've been more given to this devil casting out thing. You know what I mean? Not that I signed up for it, but it was dropped upon me. And in recent times, it's kind of like you don't hear much about this anymore, and you don't hear about casting out devils, and you don't hear about your authority over that. And I'm not saying everywhere, but it seems to be that everybody, not everybody, some people have forgotten that the devil is even alive, and he likes that. But we want to show you tonight and talk to you about, because this is part of the church coming back and catching up to where we should be, because I believe that there's people in the body of Christ that's going to use their faith, and they're going to stand up against the powers of darkness, and they're going to put the devil in his place, and he's not going to dominate the church any longer, and he's not going to dominate the young converts any longer, and these seducing spirits and doctrines of devils that's crept into the church and tried to take over the minds of our church world, we're going to run him off in the name of Jesus Christ, because I'm here to tell you, we ain't scared of the devil. I said, we ain't scared of the devil. I said, we ain't scared of the devil. I said, Brother Randy, that's not proper English, but you understand what I'm telling you. There should be no fear. If you don't watch, you'll cower in fear. If you don't watch, you'll have this kind of annoying thought all the time that the devil's going to get me, the devil's going to get me, the devil's going to get me. The devil can't get you. If you're in Christ and Christ is in you, you have authority over him. Luke chapter 10, I think it's what I said. Is that what I said? Keep me straight. But that's part of this restoration, you could call it, that's going to take place in the church. That we've got to come back to this understanding. We got to preach this. We've got to declare this. You know, Dad Hagin said this, and others have said it too, not just him. But Dad Hagin said this, but others too, that sometimes God will emphasize like one doctrinal issue or one truth, spiritual truth of God's Word, almost to the extreme, just to get it going again. You know what I mean? And then he'll bring it back into balance, you know, and get in the middle of the road. And the problem, he said, with the body of Christ over the years, we have a tendency to get in the ditch on this side of a Bible subject or the ditch on that side of the Bible subject. And so I believe that we're going to see that there's going to be some teachings and manifestations and demonstrations where we're going to see the devil stopped in his tracks. The anointing of God, I've had some experiences, and of course, I'm not just praying to meet the devil. I like what Dad Hagin said. You don't have to go praying or hunting the devil. There's going to be enough of them hunting you. You know what I mean? But you need to know what to do. But I want to assure you tonight that the devil cannot kill you. I said the devil cannot kill you. But if you don't know that, he'll take you out. And the devil cannot steal your money. I said, the devil cannot steal your money. I said, the devil cannot steal your money. I said, the devil cannot steal your money. And the devil cannot take your health. I said, the devil cannot take your health. We've got to stand against him. And we're going to see if we as believers don't do something about the devil, nothing will be done. We've got to do something about him. Luke chapter 10. We'll begin reading here in verse number 1. This is about Jesus Christ talking about what he did in his day. It says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. Wait a minute, he had chosen 12, hadn't he? But now he's appointed, he's called, he's anointed 70 others also. Yes, he had 12 disciples, but notice here, he's got 70 others. And what did he do? He sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. He sent them to prepare the way. He sent them to open up an avenue. He sent them to let the devil know that Jesus Christ was coming and the devil was going to get out of the way. And what he did is he gave them a measure of the anointing that he had to show the devil what was going to happen to him when he got there. How do you know? I'm glad you asked. The Bible tells us. But he says here, verse number 8, he said, in whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things are set before you. Verse 9 says, heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. And he gives some further instructions, but that's not my message. So he sends them out, they come back, verse 17. Says, and the 70 returned again with what? With what? Joy. They were happy, 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 happy. They didn't come back and say, Lord, the devil beat us up. My. I wish you hadn't have sent me out there. Why in the world did you send me this place? Couldn't nobody build a church here? Couldn't nobody have a revival here? Don't you know this religious spirit that's dominating and controlling this area? And nobody's been able to survive here. But that's why God sent you in there where the strong man was out, where you can shake him up, grab him up by the nap of the neck, kick him in the rear end, dust his britches, and get rid of him in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you, the devil is afraid of you. I said, the devil is afraid of you. The devil is afraid of you, but you've got to know that down in your spirit. It's got to be a revelation knowledge to you, but the devil is afraid of you. And it says, the 70 returned again with joy, not sadness, not depressed, not oppressed. And they said, Lord, even what? The devils are what? Subject unto us through thy name. The devil was subject to these 70 that were not even born again. Yeah. But they were given a measure of the anointing on Jesus. But we are born again and we have the Holy Ghost on us. And I'm here to the devil to tell you the devils are subject to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you don't do something about the devil will do something about you. I had a vision. I was praying. Wasn't trying to have a vision. Just praying again. Just minding my own business, praying about the outpouring of the Spirit, and suddenly I'm standing in the Supreme Court of the United States of America. This is in the 2000s back there, early 2000 up here, 2000 something right in there, might have been around that year. But I was suddenly, I was standing in the Supreme Court. Now, first of all, I didn't know I was in the Supreme Court, and I was standing about right here, I would say, and there was a lot of chairs and everything around. And, of course, the first thing I looked at, when I looked to see if there's any people there, and there was nobody there. And so I'm standing about right here, and where the nine justices sit on the bench was up here by me. And something caught my side view, peripheral vision, and I turned to look, startled, because I thought that this is going to be the nine justices I see. And when I turned to look, guess what? There wasn't a justice sitting there. There was a big, and that wasn't a baboon, but it was a baboon-looking creature. But it wasn't, it's really not the right words. And I knew immediately it was a demon. And I knew why God had brought me there. And I knew what I was supposed to do. And I was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power to go about doing good and healing all that's oppressed of the devil. And I said to him, I said, I see you. I see you, the prayer people that I was praying with. They didn't see the same thing I saw, but they saw my actions and they heard what I said, because I was mic'd when this took place. I said, I see you. I said, I see how all these ungodly laws get passed in the United States. And you thought it was John Roberts. I said, you thought it was John Roberts. No, the devil influenced John Roberts to vote the wrong way. Because nobody in their right mind would have voted the way he voted. Calm down, Brother Randy. Somebody better tell the truth. Flesh and blood is not our problem. Yeah, not saying they're not involved, but the demons behind them is what we've got to deal with. And I'm not saying behind every bush there's a booger, but there are a lot of booger bushes, I'm telling you. There's a lot of them out there. Brother Tom's got him a new joke now, but he'll be ready for this one. There's a lot of booger bushes out there, I'll guarantee you. And when I saw this thing, I mean, the anointing was on me so strong, and this was a big demon. In fact, it's the, let me think now for sure. I believe it's the second biggest, largest appearing demon I've ever seen. The biggest one I ever saw was at Rhema Bible Church. Brother Tom's waiting on this one too. No, I didn't see it sitting up in the pew, but I had a vision and I saw this thing, and it was controlling the presidential office of the United States of America. Miss Lynette was leading us in prayer, and suddenly I'm in the spirit. And of course, I told them what I saw privately, but I saw that. And the Lord said, if you tell these people, if they don't pray about this election, that the wrong person is going to get in office, and it's going to cause havoc in this nation. This is in February of 2008. And I told people, and they said, you're out of your mind, you ate too much watermelon, and you swallowed the seeds when you was a kid. That's what happened to you. And you're out of your mind. And you look where we're at now. But it's not too late. God is still working. So when I saw that demon, I said, in the name of Jesus, and it was the second largest demon I'd ever seen as far as size. I said, in the name of Jesus, the boldness of God was on me, and it's going to be on you too the same way. I said, in the name of Jesus, you foul devil, I see you. I see you. That's what I was saying. I see you. And I mean, I got revelation knowledge. That demon was controlling the Supreme Court, but he shouldn't be there. And I said, I command you to come down from there in the name of Jesus. And it hopped up on the top of the bench up there, shivering and shaking. I said, I command you to come down. And kerflop, it hit the floor about right there. And there's an aisle down through there. I said, not only you got to come down, it's a shaking and a shivering. I said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to get out of this courtroom now in Jesus' name. And that thing took off jogging, not running, but jogging down the aisle. And when it got to the door of the courtroom, it just run right through the door. No door open, it run right through it. And the Lord said to me, the word of the Lord came to me. He said, by this time tomorrow, there'll be a lady removed from the Supreme Court for it's in my purpose and in my will. And within 6 months' time, there will be a man that will be removed from the Supreme Court. And I spoke it out loud. And I thought after I'd done it, oh, my God, oh, my God, Oh my God, oh my God. And guess what happened? The very next day, there was a lady that left the Supreme Court. The very next day. Said, Brother Randy, do we have authority like that? I'll guarantee you we do. Now, I believe this. The reason I had that experience is because a lot of other people were praying. I'm not stupid enough to think that I could get in a place like that by myself. But because the church is praying, I got there. But I know this. I come away from that courtroom and that experience with joy. With joy. With joy. Why? Because the devil was subject to me. Because of the name of Jesus Christ. And the devil is subject to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'll use his name, the devil cannot dominate you. In fact, people put up with the devil too much. In fact, you need tonight, if you're going home, you know, to your house and live in this area, you need to have a devil throwing out service. Just go to the front door and start kicking him up and throw him out the back door. Listen, I'm not talking about your spouse, so don't have your pastor calling me. You know what I mean? Brother Randy is preaching false doctrine up there, told me to kick my spouse out the back door because that's the old devil I'm married to anyway. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a spiritual thing. Just don't let the devil dominate your home. Don't let the devil dominate your finances. Don't let the devil dominate your mind. Don't let the devil dominate your body. You're not afraid of the devil. You ain't scared. I said you're not scared of the devil. You got authority over him. Don't fear him in the name of Jesus Christ. Because if you fear him, he will dominate you. But in Luke chapter 10, verse 17, it says, even the devils are subject to us with through thy name, Luke 10, 17. Verse 18, he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And behold, I give unto you. And he's talking to his disciples, and you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? So he is giving you a direct order here. He's telling you what he's going to give you. Behold, I give unto you, you this born again, power, which should be translated authority, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all, it don't matter how big the devil is, you're over him. It doesn't matter. It don't matter how much power you think he's got. You got power over all of his power, all of his authority of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Verse 20 said, notwithstanding this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice. Why? Because your names are written in heaven. In other words, don't throw a party because the devil's subject to you. You throw a party because your names are written in heaven. And when your name's written in heaven, then you got authority over the devil. Now, Jesus wouldn't lie to us, would he? He wouldn't lie, would he? So let's examine something he said and look at it carefully. Verse 18. He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He said, I beheld Satan as what? Lightning falling from heaven. He's talking about, he's given the analogy of a lightning bolt and how we call it striking. You know, a lightning struck the tree. I think I was talking to Mr. Bill. I don't know. Anyway. Your son-in-law was standing under a shelter. What was it today? And a lightning bolt hit the shelter. He's protected you from it. But he's fine. Everything's fine. And he said it jarred him. Woo, but he's fine. You know, he used to work with electricity. He's all right. He's, you know what I mean? But it just jarred him a little bit. And I can guarantee you that thing, it probably hit before he heard the crack of thunder, you know? So he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Let's examine lightning fall from heaven. How fast does light travel? Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. So we've always thought that God almost lost the war when the devil tried to take over heaven. When he got one third of the angels, we thought, God, poor old God, oh God, they almost lost. We was almost doomed forever and ever. No, that's not what happened. And you got to come to heaven with me to find all this out. But the analogy's in the Bible. Because his lightning fall from heaven. That's how he saw the devil fall. When God heard that the devil had started rebellion, he said, bring him here. And God never moved off the throne. He just done the old thump. Pow! He just thumped him one time, and he began to travel at the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second. How quick is that? Too late, done gone. Roadrunner and coyote, get out of the way. I mean, zing! And the devil come flying out of heaven at 186,000 miles per second. It was not a big deal. I said it wasn't a big deal. I said it wasn't a big deal. God got rid of him right away. And he sent him out. No human ever traveled as fast as the devil traveled when he rebelled against God. God didn't almost lose when the devil rebelled. It was over in an instant. Yeah. As soon as God found out, it's over. I said, it's over. It's over for the devil. And as soon as you find him out, it should be over. It should be over. Yeah. Now, some things, granted, we bring on ourselves. In fact, some things we blame on the devil, we brought on ourselves. Nobody gets excited. They shout about the other part, you know. But that's the truth. Now, that's how fast he traveled. Now, I know that we've got people that like speed. I don't know about Mr. Tom or not, but like speed. They like to travel fast. Well, let me just give you a few facts here. I don't know if you know it or not, but right now, right this second, the earth is rotating on what is called its axis. Now, there's no axle sticking out of the end. At least I hadn't seen them in my flight travels. You know what I mean? But it's tilted, what is it, 22 and a half degrees, somewhere in there. And it turns around every 24 hours. We're at a different location, right? I mean, you know, but it rotates. The earth presently is rotating over, and I'm not giving you all the decimals and everything, but it's rotating right now, and you're traveling this way at over 1,000 miles per hour. Just rotating right now. But see, you don't know that because you're just born in this environment. Now, there's another message for you. You can be somewhere and not even realize what's going on. But you're presently traveling. Just go look it up for yourself. Now, I'm a pilot and learn some of these things. But now, to give you a free permanent wave, ladies, and men, a free haircut for the rest of your life. Now, our earth travels through our solar system around the sun every 365 and one quarter days. And the earth traveling through our solar system to make its round, and it's not just round, it's kind of an oval, you know, the way it goes around. But do you know how fast it travels and how fast we're going throughout our solar system? Over 67,000 miles per hour. But see, you don't know it because you're just born in this environment. Now, if there were aliens that could come from another planet and come here, they would know it immediately because they weren't born in this environment. So if you had the need for speed, you got it. You're turning around like this over 1,000 miles per hour, and you're going through the whole solar system at over 67,000 miles per hour. But we still are not going as fast as Satan did when he failed and rebelled against God. He traveled at 186,000 miles per second, which is the speed of light. How do we know? Your Bible says so. He said, I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. And so you've got to understand that it wasn't a big deal. And God was not about to lose. Even though he had one third of the angels, there was no problem at all. When the devil rebelled, God just took care of it immediately, and he expects us to do the same thing. Now to take this further, anybody ever been to Broken Bow, Oklahoma? Brother Tim's been to Broken Bow. I've been to Broken Bow, and the reason that probably most of you have never been there is because there's not too much there. Is there, Brother Tim? In fact, it's just a little bitty kind of, we'd call it in the country, a one-horse town. But sometimes the Lord will just have me go by these places if I can get there. And my wife and I went to Broken Bow, Oklahoma, because something happened there years ago. And it's when Dr. Kennedy Hagin was preaching in an Assembly of God church in Broken Bow, Oklahoma. And I believe it was the early 50s, right in there. And Jesus appeared to him in the pastor's kitchen. You remember that? Well, let's remind ourselves of what happened and what Jesus told him there. Now, if what Jesus told him or the revelation Brother Hagin told, if it contradicted the Word of God, then it wouldn't be right. But it actually proves out the Word of God because they give him chapter and verse for it. But in Broken Bow, Oklahoma, now they have built a new brick church in front of the older wood frame church that would have been there in his days in the 50s when he had this vision. And the house that would be what they called parsonage in Church of God and Assemblies of God back in those days, and I think some of them still have them today. That parsonage beside the church, I think they had turned it into some kind of, they sold it or something because they were selling some kind of products out of it, you know, or somebody was. So that might have been the house. I don't know. But I was sitting there in the parking lot just remembering what happened. The Lord said, do you remember what happened here? And I appeared to who you call Dad Hagin. And I said, well, yes. I said, I remember you appeared to him here in Broken Bow. And he said, you remember the experience. And the Lord began to take me through it. Well, Dad Hagin and the pastor was sitting at a table in the kitchen of this little parsonage there by the Assembly of God Church in a very small, small town. So Jesus comes to small towns so you can be encouraged. And he also comes to church in the rain. He does. I said, how do you know? Because remember under the tent in Texas, what was that, September the 2nd, 1950? In the Rockwall, Texas, it was sprinkling rain outside, and Jesus appeared in the tent. So you can tell your church people that Jesus come to church in the rain. Because he did. It did. He said it had been raining all day, a slow, soaking rain. There's only about 40 people because they couldn't get out. But anyway, in Broken Bow, Oklahoma, they're sitting there talking to Pastor and Dad Hagin discussing Bible truths. Up till that time, Dad Hagin had always prayed for God, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, or angels, or somebody to do something about the devil. I'm not saying angels, but he prayed for somebody to do something about the devil for him. And in fact, I remember coming up, I know Patty, you know, she come up to Church of God, I come up to Assemblies of God, but I remember if anybody that was truly demon-possessed and that demon manifested in the church, you know what they did? They cleared the doggone church out, didn't they, honey? I mean, the mamas got their babies and tuck them under their coattails like a hen would take her bitties and put them under her wings, and you run with your babies because the devil's going to get you. The devil's going to get you. The devil's going to get you. And they would run and get out in the car and roll up the windows and lock the doors. Because the devil, and you laugh at it now, but then we didn't know any better. Everybody was scared. I said, I was a kid, you know, and everybody else, adults get scared, you get scared too. Everybody, it just kind of gets on you, you know. And then my daddy was an associate pastor. Well, he had to stay in there because you have to save face, you know. He wanted to scatter like the rest of them, I'm sure. But daddy and brother S.N. Price, Pastor S.N. Price, he's a pastor. They would stay and somehow wrestle with the person, you know what I mean, to get the devil out. But people used to scatter because they didn't have the revelation of victory and authority. You just take it for granted, basically, now. But I'm telling you, when I was a young boy, a child, you know, teenager, I'm telling you that the people used to be afraid of the devil. And if the devil manifested, if it's in the Church of God where my wife went or Assemblies of God where I went, people scattered, hid their kids. My God, dig a hole, get in it. Get the tornado shelter, shut the door. My God, do something. The devil's going to get us. The devil's going to get us. But do you know what? Some of that mentality is transferred over to the modern day church. And people have a fear. Now, they don't go around confessing, I'm afraid of the devil, afraid of the devil. Afraid. But in the back of their mind, they're constantly having thoughts of, the devil's going to get me. The devil's going to do this to me. The devil is defeated. I said the devil is defeated. So Jesus appeared to Kenneth E. Hagin in Broken Bow, Oklahoma. And Dad Hagin sitting on one side of the table. The pastor sitting on the other side. And this is the way it happened. The pastor's little daughter was sitting there. I don't know, she's 10, 12 years old, something like that. And she said to her daddy, said, Daddy, she said, don't you want to put me into bed? She said, I got to go to school in the morning. He looked at his watch, I think. It was 11 o'clock. And he said, my goodness, honey, you should have already been in the bed. And it was his custom to tuck her into bed and say a prayer with her, you know. And he said to Dad Hagin, he said, well, Doc, he said, would you just want to pray with us? And then we'll just send her off to bed and continue our Bible discussion. Because they was kind of enjoying, you know, what they were sharing with one another. And Dad Hagin said, I'd be glad to. So he stood up and pulled a regular kitchen chair out. I assume it was a straight back kitchen chair. I don't know if it's wooden or metal or what, but he pulled it out. And he said he started to kneel down there in the kitchen. And when he did, he said he knelt down in what seemed to him like a white cloud, except, ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't a cloud. It was the glory of God. And he knelt down in the cloud, and as he's knelt down, he was said immediately in the Spirit, speaking in tongues, and he looked up where the top of the kitchen ceiling would be, and the kitchen ceiling roof had disappeared, and there stood Jesus. And Jesus said to him, he said, I've come to teach you about devils, demons, and evil spirits and their operations and how they will even get a hold, I'm just paraphrasing, how they will get a hold to Christians if Christians allow them to. And so he began to take Dad Hagin through a series of visions and show him different things about operations of devils. And I'm not going into all of that because that would take too long. But while he was talking to him, suddenly this little demon, say little demon. Little demons cause big problems if not dealt with. Little demons can cause big problems if not dealt with. Sometimes when you're dealing with people, this is what I found out because I've experienced it. I dealt with some things, you know, with people before, just in the what we call in the flesh, just trying to talk way through it, the solical realm, and it just get worse and worse and worse. And then get to praying about it and ask the Lord about it. He said, bind that harassing spirit that's operating against you, that's operating through them. They don't even realize what's going on. But they're yielding to an harassing spirit. So you can try to deal with a human being all day long. Now that doesn't mean, and you know this, if you don't, you'd learn real quick. You don't go up to the person and say, well, you yielding to the devil, you Christian, you. And I'm going to cast that thing away from you. They may yield to you. You know what I mean? So the best thing to do is just be as quiet as you can and deal with that thing and command it to stop its maneuvers in the name of Jesus Christ and go. And you'll be amazed at how quick things change. But if you deal with it in the flesh, try to deal with it in the flesh and try to deal with it in the flesh, it may cause you more heartache and problems than you can get out of. But so this little demon ran between Jesus and started making this racket, yakety-yak, yakety-yak, and so he couldn't hear what Jesus is saying. He could see his lips moving. He could hear some of the words, but he couldn't hear what he's saying, make it out plain. And he was thinking to himself, don't Jesus know I need to get this revelation? I need to get what he's saying? And then this demon started putting out this like black smoke screen so he couldn't see Jesus, nor he couldn't hear Jesus or make out what he was saying. And finally he said in desperation and frustration, because this went on for some time, because he's thinking, why don't Jesus do something about this demon? He just up and spoke to that devil. He said, the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to shut up and stop now in Jesus' name. And he said, kerflop, that demon hit the floor. And it lay there whimpering and a shivering. And he said, I command you not only to shut up, but get out of here in Jesus' name. And that thing got up and run off. And then Jesus turned and looked at Dad Hagin. And he said, if you had not done something about that, talking about that demon, he said, I could not have done something about it. Brother Hagin responded. He said, dear Lord Jesus, I know I didn't hear you correctly. He said, you meant to say that you didn't want to do something about the devil, not that you could not do something about the devil. Jesus said, no, that's not what I said. He said, if you had not done something about that demon, he said, I could not have done something about it. He said, dear Lord Jesus, I know I misunderstood you. You meant to say, because he couldn't believe or conceive that Jesus could not do anything about that devil. You meant to say that you didn't want to do something about it, not that you could not do something about it. And Jesus said, no, I told you that if you had not done something about that devil, I could not have done something about that devil. And he said, I'm not going to accept this revelation or vision, even though I see you standing here talking to me, just as plain as I've ever seen anybody, unless you can give me at least two or three witnesses out of the Word of God that proves to me what you're saying is true. He said, Jesus looked at him and smiled sweetly. And he said, I'll go you one better. He said, I'll give you four witnesses that what I'm telling you is true in the Bible. And Brother Hagin said he opened his mouth and put his foot in it. He said, Dear Lord Jesus, he said, I've read through the New Testament 150 times and portions of it more than that. And he said, if there's anything in there like what you're saying, he said, I sure don't know it. And he said, Jesus looked at him and said, he said, son, there's a lot of things in there that you don't know. Brother Hagin could quote at that day approximately 3/4 of the New Testament. But he still didn't know what was in it. See, the Bible is revelation knowledge. It has to be revealed to you. That don't mean that God's just hiding it from us. But he had read through and he didn't even know the scriptures was in there. But he was about to get a revelation. So the Lord told him and began to quote to him scriptures. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. He said, Brother Randy, we know this. I know that's our problem. He said, we know this. I know that's our problem. He said, Brother Randy, we know this. I know that's our problem. We want to act on what we know, and then we'll get rid of the problem. So that's the reason I'm preaching on this, speaking on this tonight. I hadn't planned to till God began to speak to me about the things that would happen. But in Matthew chapter 28, it's the last chapter of Matthew, it's the first scripture that he quoted to him. And again, this is in Broken Bow, Oklahoma. In Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18, it says, And Jesus came, and this is right before he ascended up into heaven. It's after he rose from the dead. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Where did Jesus have all authority and power? In heaven and in earth. Two distinct, separate places. He had authority in the heavens, and he has authority on earth. So we see that. Verse 19, he said, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Jesus told Dad Hagin, he said, When I said to my disciples, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, he said, I delegated my authority over Satan in this earth. In other words, the church has the authority. Jesus is the head, but we have the authority and we are his body to carry out his actions here. And that's why that he himself cannot make the devil do anything because he gave us the authority to make him do something. Turn to Mark chapter 16. The next scripture. What's the first sign that will follow any believer? The first sign. It says right here in the Bible, verse 17 of Mark 16, These signs shall follow them that believe. What will happen? In my name shall they cast out devils. How? In my name. How? In my name. We have authority of the devil in his name. And if we don't cast him out, if we don't bind him, then we are not going to be successful at overcoming him. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, the next scripture that Jesus quoted to him. Ephesians chapter 4. In verse number 27, the Apostle Paul said here, of course he said some things in Ephesians 6:12 too, but this is what Jesus said to him. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, says, Neither give place to the devil. And he's talking to the believer. Jesus said to Dad Hagin, he said, Nowhere in the New Testament is the believer ever told to pray to God to do something about the devil. He said, But the believer is always told to do something about the devil themselves. It says here, neither give place to the devil. It would be wrong for Jesus or the Apostle Paul here to tell us to not give place to the devil if we didn't have authority over him. Isn't that right? Turn to James chapter 4, the next scripture that he quoted to him. James chapter 4, what am I doing? I'm putting your remembrance of those things because we're having in this day, God's going to bring the church back to where it should be, and this is one of the things that we're going to have to put into practice. James chapter 4, verse number 7, the Bible says, Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You submit to God, resist the devil, how? In the name of Jesus, and he will flee from you. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. The last scripture that Jesus quoted to him and gave him. It says here, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Says, be sober, be vigilant, which means be aware, be alert. Because your adversary, which is another word for opponent or enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I'm glad he didn't stop right there. He's walking about trying to find somebody that don't understand their authority over him and cannot stop him from taking authority over them. Satan can take authority over them if they do not know that they have authority over Satan. Verse 9. Says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions, which means tests and trials, are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So he said, resist the devil what? Steadfast in the faith. And Jesus told him, he said, I'd give you four witnesses. And he said, the first witness is me. He said, I'm standing here, I've appeared to you, and you're seeing me. I'm the first witness. He said, the next witness that you have there is in the Word of God would be, where Paul said to him in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul said, neither give place to the devil. He said, so that's your next witness. And he said, in James chapter 4, he said, James will be your third witness. And then you get over to Peter, he said, Peter would be your fourth witness. He said, so see, there's four witnesses. And of course, you're already thinking, and you know of other scriptures that would prove exactly what Jesus said without us even turning there. And so Brother Hagin got a revelation that day that he had authority over the devil, and things began to change. In fact, he began to print materials and books and begin to send them out, and tapes and things. You know, when he began to preach it and they begin to put it in the tapes, I guess what it would be the early 60s when they come out with the reel-to-reels and everything, and then later the cassettes and now DVDs. But ladies and gentlemen, you do not have to be afraid of the devil. I said, you do not have to be afraid of the devil. And in this move that we're in right now, in this move of God, you're going to confront the devil, but you're going to defeat him every single time. In fact, you just need to make a decision tonight that I'm going to take authority over every evil spirit, and they're not going to control me, they're not going to dominate me, and they're not going to make me do anything, because why? The devil is defeated. I said, the devil is defeated. The devil is defeated. The devil is defeated. Remember, I began to learn these things as a convict boy, born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, out on the prison yard. April the 5th, 1984, I turned 30 years old that day. It was like heaven opened over that prison, and the anointing came on me, and the Spirit of God said to me, He said, I'm anointing you today to begin to enter into the ministry that I called you to. Little did I know what he was talking about. About this time, about an hour after this time, I was almost slain in the spirit, praying out behind a prison dormitory, a block wall there, and I just slid down the wall and kind of sat down in this old metal bucket that was there. That was a good sofa for convicts, you know what I mean, old metal bucket. So I just sat down on it, and I'm just worshiping God and thanking God because His glory and power had just flowing through me. I knew I'd received something from heaven. And suddenly Robert walked around the corner. It was a guy that I had been dealing with for about 5 months, trying to lead him to the Lord with no results. He didn't like me, didn't like God, didn't like Jesus, didn't like the chaplain. In fact, I wouldn't have fooled with him if it hadn't have been for the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God that He gives us compassion for the wayward and those that are lost. He walked around that corner, and he was walking with a purpose, and he was walking straight towards me. And all of a sudden, I stood to my feet. And when he started coming to me, he started talking foul language to me. I want you to leave me alone. And he had done this before. Leave me alone. Quit telling me about this Jesus stuff. And all of a sudden, the anointing came on me, and the Lord showed me. That man is demon-possessed. He's got a homosexual spirit, and he says he's got a lying spirit and a spirit of hatred. And he said, I want you to cast him out of him. I said, do what? I mean, I've never cast out a devil in my life. He said, cast him out of him. Only one spirit can possess a human being. But when that spirit is possessed in their human spirit by another demon spirit, and is always a ruler of the darkness of this world that possesses somebody. I said, it's always a ruler of the darkness of this world. How do you know? Jesus told Brother Hagin in that visitation. I'm just not telling you the whole story. It's always a ruler of the darkness. And when it possesses, then other demons can operate through that person because that person's will is so weakened, they just take over. And so I stood up and I started talking to him. And I said, Robert, I know what's wrong. I said, I can help you. I didn't tell him he's demon possessed, you know. I said, Robert, I can help you. So we begin to walk the prison yard. And as we begin to walk the prison yard back and forth, the Lord began to show me. Now, this right now that you're hearing, this voice you're hearing, is a demon using his vocal cords to speak to you. He was totally demon-possessed. And he wasn't thinking he was possessed. He was totally demon-possessed. And then all of a sudden, he said, now, that's Robert talking to you. And it was just by revelation that I received that. And I said, Robert, let me pray for you. He finally agreed. I said, will you go to the prison chapel with me and talk to the chaplain with me? He said, I don't want to talk to the chaplain. He said, but I'll go with you. And so I said, well, come up here then. And so I went to the chaplain. And I said, chaplain, you know Robert so-and-so. He said, boy, do I. Yes, I know him. I said, well, I just had an experience out there. And I said, I believe the Lord showed me he's demon-possessed. He said, well, what do you want me to do about it? I said, I want you to cast the devil out of him. A wise, wise chaplain. He said, the Lord ain't told me to do it, son. If you dealt with enough of them, you want to chicken me shy, pass it me by. Give him to somebody else, you know what I mean? Give mine to Geraldine. I don't know if you know that. But not get into that. But anyway, give mine to somebody else. He said, son, you can use my office. He said, but I don't want to deal with him. He said, he's already tried to get me fired. And he said that he'll try to get me fired and he don't like me. And I said, we can use your office. He said, yes. I said, well, let me go down and get some people to help me. You know, it's in my church. I think we have ushers around here, but we had bouncers in our convict church because we bounce people out. It's a little different. You know, they got those screeners at the airport and they think they got something. You got to walk through these metal detectors and these screeners and these, you look like Mickey Mouse and you put your ears on. And has anybody got to do that? I know some folks around here got to go through the airport and you do that thing and they got them scanning machines and all that kind of stuff, you know, and you do the Mickey Mouse trick, you know, and everything. But I said to the chaplain, I got to go get some help. He said, who you going to get? I said, I'm going to get Dixon. He said, yeah, that'd be good. And he said, who else you get? I said, I'm going to get Charlie. Charlie's praise and worship leader, you know. And he said, okay, that'd be good. He said, but first, call Robert in here. And I said, let me talk to him. He said, because we're not going to keep him here against his will because people have done that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not telling you to go out and do things and hold people against their will. If somebody don't want the devil out of them, let them go. If somebody wants to be free, you can help them. But don't hold people against their will. Don't make anybody try to do anything that they don't want to do. It don't matter how much you love them or how much you try to help them, let them go. You'll do them an injustice and a disservice by trying to do something that they don't want. Because if you do get the devil out of them, that's going to come back because they don't want to get right with God and stay right with God. So he called him in and said, Robert, Randy tells me that you want to receive prayer. Yes, that's right. He said, you know, I told him he could use my office. He said, but I'm not going to be in here. He said, if you want to receive prayer, he said, you can wait in the chapel. And he said, he's going to go get some other of the guys to pray with you. He said, that'll be fine, chaplain. So he went and sat down on the chapel bench, and so I took off. And I went looking. First one I saw was Charlie. He's a praise and worship leader. I said, Charlie, you know Robert so-and-so. Yes. I said, go up to the chaplain's office. And I said, wait on me. He said, what's going to happen? I said, we're going to cast the devil out. I said, but don't tell him nothing. I said, talking about Robert, you know, when he saw him. I said, where's Dixon? He said, I don't know. And Dixon was one of them Christian weightlifters, you know. He could bench press, you know, 400 pounds and speak in other tongues while he's doing it. And if he was talking to somebody about Jesus, you've heard of the right hand of fellowship, and they didn't listen to him just right, he would give them the right hook of fellowship. And he would jump on top of them and bang them up and down. He called them getting them saved, you know, on the concrete floor. And the guards would come to me, and they would say, preacher, come quick. I'd say, what is it? Said, go down there to C block or D block to Dixon, saving another one. And I knew what they were talking about. Because if they went, they'd have to lock him up. So I'd run down there where Dixon was at, and sure enough, he'd be sitting on top of them, tell them all about Jesus. I mean, just tell them about Jesus. Strong as an ox, you know. He wasn't that big, but he was strong as an ox. And he's sitting on the top of them, telling them how much Jesus loved them and what Jesus would do for them. And they'd done something wrong, you know, cuss Jesus or something. You don't cuss Jesus, not around this guy, you know. He'd just flatten you out. And I'd say, Dixon, I said, the Bible says, pray for them that say all manner of evil against you falsely for his name's sake. He said, bless God, Brother Randy. It says in the book of Jude to save some and snatching them out of the fire. He said, I'm just knocking the fire out of this one. He needs some help. And I mean, he meant it from the bottom of his heart. I could say this, we had progressive sanctification in our church, pastors, you know. Progressive sanctification, you know what I mean? Oh, if we'd have had to have fully sanctified at one time, I don't think we'd have passed the test on some of these guys. But I said, thinking, where is that? He said, I don't know where is that. So I thought, where else could he be but the weight pile? I went out there, sure enough, he's laying on the bench press and he's pumping that iron, praying in the Holy Ghost. And I walked up and I said, Dixon? Yeah. I said, you know Robert, so-and-so? Yeah. I said, I just had an experience out back in the prison. He said, I saw y'all walking by here a while ago. I said, the Lord told me to cast the devil out of him. And I said, I need you to go help me. Will you do it? He said, where's he at? I said, in the chapel. And before I could stop him, he put them weights in that bench, and he jumped up and he launched off that and started running across the prison yard. And I started having visions of what he's going to do if he got there before I got there. And so I'm yelling at him, wait, Dixon, stop, Dixon, wait, Dixon, stop, Dixon. And he's still kicking it up, going on down through there. And I'm a-running, but I'm not in the same shape he's in, you know. And I'm trying to catch him. And then finally he stops, and he turns around, puts his hands on both hips, and I'm still running, trying to catch him, you know. And he said, what do you want, preacher? I said, listen, Dixon. I said, we're not going to beat the devil out of him. I said, we're going to cast the devil out in Jesus' name, and I want you to know that. He said, bless God, preacher, I'll give it to him any way he wants it. And I do it. But by that time, I got my elbow hooked in his arm. You know what I mean? So if he took off, he got to drag me too, which he probably could. So we got up there. The chaplain walked out of the office, and I set Robert down in the chaplain's desk chair. And I said, Robert, what do you want God to do for you? It's a little 8x10 room, you know, with a little curtain and a window, and you could see some light coming in. I said, what do you want God to do for you? I knew enough to know that he had to want to be free. He said, I've got something in my life making me do things that I don't want to do, and I want to be free from it. And I said, okay. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you foul spirits, you homosexual devil, to come out of him in the name of Jesus. And no sooner than I'd got those words out of my mouth, every light in that prison went out. Shoo, like somebody cut the main power switch. There was no bad weather. They called the electrical company. Mr. Winger, that's over the prison that worked for the state of Alabama, where I was at. In fact, I was on the electrical crew. They called him in. They couldn't find any reason why that the electricity wouldn't come from the electrical room into the rest of the prison and power. But when the electricity fails, then the security of the prison is at risk because there's a lot of electric doors and gates and panels. So they call what they call lockdown. When they call lockdown, then that means that I have got to go, and I've got to go back to my cell block. He's got to go back to his cell block, which is going to stop us from casting the devil out of him. And, of course, that's the devil's plot and ploy. Now, I'm not writing a book on this. I'm not building a Bible doctrine on it. But I'm here to tell you, I believe the devil shut the lights off in that place. There's a big diesel engine that powers an emergency generator. When the rest of the power fails, it automatically comes on. It came on and ran about 3 or 4 seconds and stopped. Came on, run about 15 seconds and stopped. And then it tried to start the third time and it finally quit and it wouldn't come on. So we're without electricity. But immediately throughout this battery-powered, what do they call them, megaphones, the guards or captains and all, the sergeants are running around, hollering, lockdown, lockdown. Well, everybody knows what that means. You go back to your cell block. They don't know why, but they know that they got to go there, and you better do it. And so I'm standing there, and my brain is going, tilt, tilt, what's going on? The Holy Ghost said in my spirit, and again, I'm not building a doctrine on this. He said, the devil turned the lights on this prison to stop you from casting the devil out of Robert. He said, you cast the devil out of him, it's going to start a wave of revival in this prison. Well, I couldn't believe that. I couldn't conceive that. I couldn't even think of that. In my mind, how could the devil flip a light switch? Couldn't conceive it. But suddenly the chaplain, a man of God like these pastors are around here, a man of God, he stuck his head in that door. He said, Randy, you may not understand this, but the devil, the Lord told me, has turned the lights out in this prison. He told me to tell you to cast the devil out of that boy. And he said, it's going to start a wave of revival in this prison like we've never seen or known. He said, I'll keep the guards off of you as long as I can. So hurry. He's going to hot rail for us. Yeah. Hot rail. My friend here. Hot rail. That's when you watch for the man. When you're on the hot rail, that means you're laying up on a rail acting like you're doing something. You just propped up against the wall. You're on the hot rail. And when you see him coming, you say, hot rail. Hot rail, that means things can get hot if you get caught. So the chaplain was doing the hot rail. The chaplain, I needed Mr. Marvin there. Amen. So I turned back and I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you foul devil, you homosexual spirit, come out of him in Jesus' name. And Robert bowed over a little bit and he started weeping and crying. And I thought, man, this stuff's easy. Man, this is a piece of cake. My God, wait, we've done this before now. I said, Robert. I kind of got close to him, you know. Robert, now look at me now. Now look at me. Now say the sinner's prayer with me. Say the sinner's prayer. Say the sinner's prayer. And he said, and I stepped back. And he said this out of his mouth. He said, I'm a controlling demon over this prison, and you don't have the power to cast me out. You'll have to come back when you get the power. My mind said, oh, my God, what have I got into now? What did I get into? This demon, this voice, and his facial features contorted. I mean, this guy is a demon. And I turned to look at Dixon and Charlie, and they're standing back, too. Because they ain't never seen nothing like this either. And they're wanting to call mama like I did. My God, somebody come help us. And I was going to tell Dixon and Charlie, let's get out of here, Jack. We'll come back when we get that power. When we get that power he's talking about. But thank God for the Holy Ghost. I mean, in my lack of knowledge, the Holy Ghost rose up in me like a volcano. And these words come up out of my spirit. I could have not spoken them, but it was just such an authority. I realized right then, a revelation came. That's a lying devil. That's a lying spirit. A lying spirit. The Lord already told me early he had a lying spirit tagging around in his life too. That's a lying devil. It became revelation. And I said, uh-huh. I said, you foul devil, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are a liar, and I command you to come out of him in Jesus' name. Shocked me, shocked Dixon and Charlie, and I'm sure it shocked the devil because I sure didn't plan on saying it because my head wasn't geared up to say that. I was going to tell him, let's leave. But when I did, that Shekinah glory of God, woo-wee, came in that room, that little 8x10, and it wasn't big enough for God and the devil. I'm just here to tell you. Oh, Dixon, he's crazy enough without an anointing. But when the anointing gets on him, he's flat wild. He just walked over to where Robert was in that chair, growling like an animal, slobbering at the mouth. And he picked him up and shook him like a bulldog would a bone. And said, come out of him like the preacher said, you lying devil, and slung him back in that chair. And I said, get him, Dixon, my God. Get him, Dixon. And them devils come tearing out of him, crying out, come out of him in the name of Jesus. Now, people don't always vomit something up, but he vomited something, no stinking bile mess that come out of him. I guess it was like a bowl of Jell-O, but it was ugly. Had like hairs growing in it and all kind of stuff, like a hairball or something. And that come out of his innards, and he puked that thing up in the chaplain's floor. Oh, you want to sign up for some of this? I'm here to tell you. But that thing came out of him. And by this time, we're making so much racket, and the chaplain had told us to be quiet. But we're shouting, my God, we got authority over the devil. We come back with joy, 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 joy. I said, we have joy. And the chaplain stuck his head in the door. Said, what are y'all doing? I said, we're casting out the devil. Chaplain, he said, oh, my God, plead the blood. Plead the blood. Don't let that thing get y'all. Don't let that thing get y'all. Now you say, well, you're making up these stories. My wife will tell you that I had Chaplain Browder, this same man, used to come to my meetings. And I would have him share these stories to make people know that I wasn't making this stuff up. He was right there and he saw it. He witnessed. I don't know if David and Jill ever met Chaplain. You remember him? Chaplain Browder. Well, they met him. But he'd come and he would confirm the stories. Say, Randy's crazy. But he's the one that believed in doing this stuff. And we had this miracle after miracle. Robert got totally set free by the anointing of God. He received Jesus as Savior. And we said to him, now you need to receive the Holy Ghost. Laid hands on him. He began to speak fluently in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. And he got drunk in the Spirit. That's one thing to be demon possessed. It's another thing to be drunk in the Spirit on a lockdown in prison. So he's singing and staggering around there, hugging my neck, the chaplain's neck. I love you, Chaplain. I love you, Brother Andy. I love you, Dixon. I love you. I love you. All of a sudden, a big, strapping, burly officer, about 6'9", Captain Felton Crumpton, come bursting in the door. What are y'all doing here? This is lockdown. And he sees Robert, and Robert sees him. And Robert's eyes get big, and he leapt up off the floor because he's a short fella and throwed both arms around Captain Crumpton's neck, said, I love you, Captain. I love you, Captain. He said, my God, that man's drunk. Chaplain, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. He's a drink in this prison, hoochah, and you ought to know better than that. He said, no, sir. He said, he's not been drunk. Drinking prison hoochah. He'd been drinking Holy Ghost wine, sir. That's what's wrong with him. And he's drunk in the Spirit. He's drunk in the Spirit. He said, I'll lock all of you up. I'll lock all of you up. And I said, no, Captain. And I knew him a little bit, Captain. I said, this man ain't been drinking no prison hoochah. I said, you know me better than that. I said, this man, the devil just came out of him. And I said, he's filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, well, get him out of here before I lock all y'all up. You better get him to his bed. He said, the deputy warden's out there in the yard. And if he sees y'all, he gonna lock you up. And I said, whoa, what we gonna do? I said, Dixon, get him. And I said, help him get to his dormitory, his cell block. And so Dixon grabbed him, you know, and as they tried to walk out of the chapel, Robert would collapse and lay there laughing. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Oh, I love you, Dixon. Ah, ha. Thank you for helping me, Dixon. Ah. And I said, Dixon, get him out of here. So Dixon just reached down, picked him up like you'd pick up a sack of taters. And he's walking with him. And he walked through the chapel with him. And then he's got to go out across the prison yard where the deputy warden's at. Well, Robert was praying and singing in tongues at one end. He was kicking in tongues at the other end. Say, can you kick in tongues? Don't have chapter and verse for it, but it looked like it. I mean, the way he was singing. So when he starts out the side door, I thought to myself, it hit Chap and I at the same time, Chaplain Browder. I thought, what if the deputy warden's out there? My God, they're going to get them. They're going to bust them. They're going to lock them up thinking they're drunk. And I went and we ran to the window, and there stood Deputy Warden Thurman with his bullhorn, and he's hollering lockdown. And he looks at Robert and Dixon, and he's trying to figure out what's going on. And Robert's hollering, I love you, Warden. And I said, Chap, do something quick. They're going to lock him up. Do something. Chaplain Browder, you know, he was a black man. But he looked like the Pillsbury Doughboy. I'm here to tell you, that's kind of his shape. And so he went bursting out of the chapel door, bouncing that fat belly, and he was saying, spiritual experience, Deputy Warden, spiritual experience, Deputy Warden, spiritual experience. And the Deputy Warden got to laughing at the fat belly. The chaplain and Dixon looked at me and said, what? I said, go, go, my God. Get out of here while you can. And so Dixon kind of trotted across there with Robert singing and hollering, I love you to everybody. And he finally gets him to his dormitory, lays him down in his bed because he's got to clear out because if he gets locked down in the wrong place, he's in big trouble. He clears out. He comes back to our cell block, and now he's right there by me. I said, Dixon, what happened? He said, when I laid him down on the bed, preacher, he said he was singing in other tongues. He said he was a mess. You know what I'm talking about? He was a mess. He's singing in other tongues. I said, oh, my God. I said, let's just pray and believe God that he don't lock him up tonight thinking he was out of his mind. So that's what we did. Well, the next morning, they shut the camp down till the next morning because it's already the evening. Next morning, they unlocked all the cell blocks. And so the first thing that happened, one of the guys that slept in the cell block that he did, is kind of a dormitory, 75 men, they come running over there for my block. Said, what did y'all do to Robert? I said, what do you mean? He said, he was about out of his mind. He was over there singing songs and doing all kind of stuff, and finally he went to sleep. He said, we was relieved. I said, thank God. I said, yeah. I said, well, he got saved. That's what happened. He got saved. He said, well, that ain't all. I said, what is it? He said, about 5 o'clock this morning, he said, he sat up in the bed. He started singing this song. I said, what song? I love the warden. I love. And he hated the warden. Everybody didn't like the warden. He didn't like nobody. And he said, it scared the guys so bad because they thought they called it going off in prison. He said, they're going to send him to D-dorm. That's what D-dorm, dummy dorm. D-dorm. He's going to D-dorm. It's over for him. He said, they sat around the wall because they thought he had lost his mind until daylight come and he opened the cell block where they could get out of there. The Lord said it would start a wave of revival, and it did. I think he was about the 11th convict in our little convict church. But by that's on a Tuesday that happened. By that next Saturday, just what, 4 days later, I was preaching to over 75 born again, Spirit-filled, tongue-talking convicts that didn't have jailhouse religion. They had Jesus in their heart. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to be afraid of the devil. My Lord, you done made me go so long. But anyway, you don't have to be afraid of the devil. You got authority over him. How fast will he travel from you? 186,000 miles per second. The speed of light. Get rid of the fear of Satan out of your life. Don't fear him. Meditate on the Word of God. And it'll put you over every single time. Take authority over Satan in the name of Jesus. And again, that don't mean you got to go hunting the devil. There'll be enough of them hunting you. But when you confront them, you need to do something about it in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you.